Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. On this program, we sit down with community leaders and artists who are defining the creative identity of Waco. Today, we're talking with Creative Waco staff about their second annual Art Apprenticeship Mural Program and what the community can expect to see by the end of this summer. Later in the show, we'll hear the segment David and Art with David Smith, as well as a special poetry segment that's being done on KWBU. Art Apprenticeship is gearing up to leave its mark on Waco for the second year in a row. The Creative Internship Program is responsible for a downtown mural titled 1,000 Hopes for Waco that was painted last summer. What makes this mural unique? Well, under the guidance of four professional artists, 1,000 Hopes for Waco was painted by 10 high school students from Waco ISD. I'm here with Creative Waco Executive Director Fiona Bond, Creative Waco Director of Marketing and Communications Kennedy Sam, and Art Apprenticeship Project Manager Stephanie Wheat Johnson. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good morning.
So you guys have each played a very special role in making Art Apprenticeship a reality over the last year or so. I know, Kennedy, you're newer, so you haven't had a chance to experience the program, but you have definitely been still helping with all the preparation for this year. So before we jump into things, I do have one question for you guys. What was the last really great arts or cultural event that you attended here in Waco? We can start with Fiona.
Well, oh my goodness, they're happening all the time.
Sure.
So most recently, the Film Festival and Art on Elm. And those were in subsequent weekends. There was a ton of other stuff going on both those weekends. So, you know, we can't pick and choose between the ones that we like best because, honestly, each of them delivers something spectacular. Brooke's dance performance. Oh my goodness, that was amazing.
Sure.
So the most recent thing that I intended was Art on Elm.
Cool.
And that was that just happened. As always, that was just a fabulous community event.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Stephanie?
Most recently would be I attended Gobsmacked, Brooke's wonderful performance. And I was just swept away by that and struck by what a wonderful collaboration it was between WCT and her company, and then all of the wonderful food that was brought in. It was just a really great experience all the way around.
That's really great to hear. Yeah. We had her on the show last month talking about that, so that's really good. Kennedy?
Yes. So most recently was the Film Fest a couple weeks ago. It was just an amazing experience. It was my first Film Fest ever to attend, and it was just so great going to like all the performances, well, the films that were happening, and then just the camaraderie from the arts community, not only in Waco, but just from like the countries that came to Waco, and it was just amazing to see all these talents.
That's amazing. I think one of the festival organizers, Samuel, had mentioned that there were several international folks that came over for that for the festival.
Yeah.
That's cool. So let's, you know, jump into our apprenticeship things. So Fiona, you had the dream of bringing Art Apprenticeship to Waco around this time last year. Can you talk about the trip that inspired that and the program that this is modeled after?
Well, the idea was really sparked after a chamber visit to the chamber, the Greater Waco Chamber of Commerce, leads a trip each year where leaders from Waco go and see how things are done in another community. And we had the opportunity to go and visit the Over the Rhine District in Cincinnati. And a number of people had said to me before I went, oh, you have to see the murals. And I was thinking, okay, well, I'll try and seek them out while I'm there. Well, they hit you as soon as you arrive in Cincinnati. They are everywhere on huge walls right throughout the city. They've become a really distinguishing feature of Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And they are not like any murals I had ever seen, really, because they are truly art murals. Mm-hmm. They are not, you know, I encountered a lot of street art before. And we had the privilege, as part of the chamber program, to meet the director of that that mural program. And what we learned was that the murals are a byproduct of what is an even richer program, in that the actual deliverable is concept to completion work experience for high school students in the creative sector. So essentially how to manage creativity as a business, how to learn everything from creating a budget, to working with a client, to how to timeline a project, how to calculate paint, how to design to a brief, all these things which if you're going into any creative field, you need to learn. And I think everyone who was on that trip at some point came up to me and said, we need to do this in Waco. And I totally and wholeheartedly agreed. It was such a powerful project. And it really, I think, impacted us because we could see the byproduct. And we knew that the kids who had participated in that program could see the fruits of their labors every single day. And that was when they told the stories about what had happened to some of the kids who'd been involved in that program. That was the real takeaway, that these kids get to see at a stage before they even go to university or higher education, they get to see they can make a difference in the world in a really powerful way, as well as learning these incredibly valuable skills. So it was really a no-brainer to see if we could do something like that in Waco. And really, we had a very short timeline into the first project, but we brought Tamara Harkavy, who is the executive director of the Cincinnati program, here to Waco to do an intensive series of 3 days of workshopping with us about how we might make this relevant to Waco. And really, the rest is history. We very quickly found that there are a number of artists in Waco who had actually been through that program and who knew the Cincinnati program and were in the creative sector because they'd been through that program. Mm-hmm. So that reinforced the decision to go ahead even more. So it was born as a pilot last summer.
So Stephanie, you've been project manager since our apprenticeship began last year.
Yes.
And you were on site virtually every day of the project.
Was.
Can you talk about what the day-to-day of a program like this looks like?
Yeah. I was very lucky to claim art apprenticeship as my baby last summer, and it was a lot of fun to be on site every day. Even on challenging days, what we were, I think, most blessed with was that our creative team, I mean, we looked at each other at the end of every day and said, yeah, that was hard, but it's getting better every day.
Sure.
So we, as Fiona mentioned, did this very quickly, and in some ways, I think having that little bit of a risk, having that little bit of a push helped us all just sort of take the leap together. And it was really enjoyable to watch some artists here in town give very generously from their hearts. I think they immediately made a connection with how the program was going to work, how it was going to impact the young people we hired. And so every day they came in ready to flex with whatever we needed to do. Day to day, that meant the first couple of weeks as they took shape were studio weeks where our teaching artists and assistant artists worked through things as simple as, you know, sketchbook exercises every morning, a chance for the kids to kind of warm up and get to know each other, which is a huge deal when you're in high school to take that jump into, hey, this isn't exactly academic anymore. This is actually going towards professional training, and kind of giving them the space to realize we trust you and we're giving you this because we know you can do it. And it was really, really rewarding to see how in just a short amount of time those kids saw that in themselves, gained some confidence and grew forward, which you got to see as well. Mm-hmm. And then going forward, they, as Fiona mentioned, they got a chance to do some professional presentation. We had different members of the community come in, different leaders who were able to talk about things like, you know, what do creative professionals do? You know, how do you make a living as an artist? But then also, why are these professional skills important? They talked about resumes, portfolios, all that good stuff. And then they learned how to make a pitch. So they took some of the beautiful designs that our teaching artists collaborated on and were able to present them to our client last year. You know, they worked from a design brief and were able to stand up and say, here, these are our designs, this is why they're significant. And then we, once they were approved, it was, you know, right onto the wall. And just the hard day-to-day in the sun, choosing to get up every morning and get out there in the heat and paint. And, you know, every day was a little different, but what was really lovely to see is how passionate they became about it, and even seeing them arriving earlier and earlier sometimes, because they got the more we're out there and the more engaged we are, the more we get out there, the better this is going to be.
They were so motivated.
They were.
I think that was really encouraging to see that these young people, you hear so much about, you know, young people today aren't as committed to things as they used to be.
Ooh, they
were
committed.
These kids were so committed, yes. So motivated. They worked so hard in really sometimes uncomfortable circumstances.
Yeah.
Big shout out there to Shane Turner, too, because he was the client. He and Turner Berenger took on the risk of having a group of high schoolers paint a brand new, very iconic wall of a building they had just renovated. And you know, stepping up and saying, yes, we will play our part as the client for this. We will show up and do our bit in terms of providing a wall, but also, you know, interacting with the students to make sure we end up with something that we like as well. Mm. And they really put in the effort and the commitment and the bravery, honestly, because they didn't know what they would end up with.
Yeah, we couldn't have asked for a better team of supporters, you know, from Turner Berenger all the way to Mitchell Construction, helping us acquire the lifts and things that we needed. And all the people who stepped forward to become sponsors individually for our interns, because they were paid a stipend at the end of the summer. And I think that was one of the coolest things, really, to see how each sponsor got it very quickly and came on site and found ways to connect with our kids. And I can't wait to see what that's going to be like this year.
Yeah, each of the kids gets an individual supporter in the form of the person who pays their salary to be there. And the kids are accountable directly to their sponsor, which is a very powerful way of them kind of realizing that this doesn't come automatically. This isn't a given. This is a relationship.
Yes.
We'll talk more about artpreneurship in just a few minutes. During the American Civil War, a German painter showed what art could offer to members of Congress and to us today. Here's this week's edition of David and Art with David Smith.
In the late 1850s, the political future of the United States was growing increasingly bleak, and people openly wondered if the Republic could survive as its sections drifted further apart. To concerned citizens, the presidential election of 1860 loomed large with the potential of driving circumstances past the point of reconciliation. But even as the crisis approached, Congress also attended to other, some might even have said trivial, matters. On George Washington's birthday in 1860, the newly created United States Arts Commission presented a report to President James Buchanan. It recommended an outlay of just under $167,000 on works of art for the Capitol building, then being remodeled and expanded. That translates to over $5 million today. Realizing the strains that the nation was experiencing, the three-member commission reassured the beleaguered president that in times of dissension and disagreement, the arts afford a strong bond of national sympathy. Despite the grave situation facing the nation, Congress responded to the commission's obvious faith in the power of the arts. National sympathy and unity, especially in the halls of Congress, was sorely needed. Even as the Civil War exploded, the government commissioned a painting that celebrated the inevitable triumph of union and expansion. The colossal "Westward the Course of Empire Takes Its Way," the work of German-born painter Emanuel Leutz, was to crown the West Stairway in the new house wing of the Capitol. At the apex of the 20-by-30-foot fresco stands a lone figure on a rocky promontory overlooking the Pacific Ocean, raising his hat in joyful celebration. From a ledge below, a second figure hands up to him an unfurled American flag. In the foreground, throngs of people, including an African American, scramble to see San Francisco Bay and the glimmering Western Ocean beyond, the end of what we know has been an arduous cross-country journey. Obviously more than a painting, the work conveyed a powerful and hopeful message. It took great faith to commission such a work in the summer of 1861, faith not only in the ultimate future of the Union, but faith in the power of art to convey that certainty and reassurance to all the people who would pass beneath it every day. But from before the colonies even declared their independence, Americans had seen art as a shaper and transmitter of society's values and a force for unity. Accordingly, it was of interest to the government. the traditional belief that art had the power to be of broad benefit to people and to transmit commonality to the nation found its ultimate expression exactly 100 years after the end of the Civil War through the creation of the National Endowment for the Arts.
During the month of April, KWBU has been highlighting local poets for National Poetry Month. Let's revisit one of those segments with Kately Mills.
For National Poetry Month in April, KWBU is highlighting four local poets to share what influences their work, as well as how they entered into the medium. Our third poet is Isis Lee. Isis is a local musician, singer-songwriter, and poet in the Waco area. She is the organizer and host of the Waco Poet Society and has been published in several magazines, including Stone Circle, Nota Bene, and Bohemia. She has also performed in poetry slams and word competitions around Central Texas. Welcome, Isis.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm so thrilled to be here.
How did you get started in your poetry and how did you become interested in poetry?
To be honest, as a young girl, I used to read a lot of Edgar Allan Poe. Loved all his work. And so as a young girl, I just kept trying to expand my horizons through writing, and finding it therapeutic was kind of really important, something I felt safe. It was my safe space. And I remember my first crush kind of led me to fill an entire notebook with just writings, and I just felt compelled to say all these things, but I couldn't say them to him. So a lot of my writings always come from an emotional, secretive place, and I love that level of intimacy, and I love exploring it, and it allows me to learn so much about myself.
How have you seen either the topics that you explore or your writing style develop over the years?
Well, when I was young, all the dark, complex subject matter in, like, say, Edgar Allan Poe stuff, most people are like, that's kind of spooky, it's dark. I feel like nowadays people are more honest with some of those things that come from places of depression and anxiety. And I think that as we've evolved socially, what I've noticed is we don't sweep things under the rug anymore. We're in a position now where we are comfortable talking about issues that stem from trauma, psychological effects that happen in our youth, even things of happiness. Sometimes we don't realize, like, where these things come from. I love writing and having a sense of nostalgia from my youth. It's sentimental and it's heart-wrenching sometimes, but it's really beautiful. And I always find that my best work comes from places of pain and agony. And I try not to find it as a dark thing to not share. That's some of the most beautiful songs and some of the most beautiful phrases. And like when I think about some of the greatest writing, it comes from this wounded place, this place of intimate exposure and reflection. And for me, that's why I love the writing process. It's my sense of religion where I find home.
I actually want to go into your first poem.
Oh my gosh.
Just so I can kind of get a sense, and then we can go on and talk a little bit more.
I got really, really proud with this piece. This one was actually published in the Stone Circle and won, I want to say, like, second or third place. But when I wrote this, this one is about my father. My father was a huge inspiration, a huge role model to me, and he passed away when I came to Waco. He passed away from stomach cancer. It was really hard. And when I wrote this poem, it was like he was writing through me. And when this one got published and I saw it, I was just crying tears of sheer joy. So this one, I hope I don't cry. This one's called Echo in Time. I have not skipped in fields of grass or ran my hands along the side of beauty. For in my youth, I found rebellion in my glass. And I sipped and I swam in its deliverance. Time served to seduce ideas of youth, to alarm passion, and to bleed for all lust. I relied on blurred visions to decide my fate, and hurried along to delay my oblivion. Dreams were left enchanted by the day, and as I woke to not a single whisper, it was the cold that came to greet the day anew.
Wow, that's really, that's beautiful.
Thank you. That's something I dedicate to my father.
What are some other instances throughout your life that you have felt your poetry helped you out of that situation or helped you? It doesn't necessarily have to be like a negative situation or like a sad situation, maybe happy situation.
Oh, like, well, I can honestly say that when you write a poem and you're infatuated with someone and you're just so giddy and alive. And I'm the kind of girl that will write sonnets all day and night about someone I love. It feels so good to be that honest because, like, when I see them face to face, I get jumbled up on my words. I'm really good with words on paper. And if I have time to write something, it's very well organized and everything is said very lovely. But in person, I'm a bumbling idiot. I have anxiety. I'm awkward. I'm human. And all of those things that most people experience are things that even I, as a performer and as a writer, I still succumb to those. Like, I feel like the tortured artist who constantly, like, I delve into my depression. I delve into my anxiety. And I'm comfortable doing that because it is therapeutic. But sometimes diving headfirst into love and finding that addiction and that joy is really refreshing because it's not just the heavy dark side that can swallow you whole. Sometimes the beautiful light and the wonderful splendor of the day can give you everything you ever needed, and it's a balance of both.
You can find our extended conversation and more poetry from Isis Lee at kwbu.org, as well as other poets in our special series. The last installment of the series will air next Tuesday.
You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Today we're talking with Fiona Bond, Kennedy Sam, and Stephanie Wheat Johnson from Creative Waco. They're preparing for the second year of Art Apprenticeship, a creative internship program that teaches high school students to manage a mural project from concept to completion. So what's been done so far this year in preparation for the start of the program this summer?
A lot. So starting way back in January, we've started rolling with, you know, things as I wouldn't say simple as, you know, planning our fundraisers and all of that good stuff. But one of the most important components that we wanted to build into the program this year was a community consultation piece. This year, we're going to be doing two walls, which is already another big step because we're adding a wall. We're hiring two extra apprentices, but we're also going to be painting these walls in East Waco. Our wall donors have been very generous in sort of saying already, this is what we want and what we don't want. We've gone through that process. And then the next step, of course, was to invite and engage with some community leaders in the area where we're going to paint. We feel like that's a really important step towards how Art Apprenticeship will engage with every project from here on out. You know, getting a chance to introduce the program to the community that we're going to be working in. Giving a chance for the businesses or organizations that are donating their walls to get a chance to, you know, connect with the community and express themselves and what they see about their own identity. But then at the same time, this is a chance for us to listen to the neighborhood that we are getting a chance, you know, the privilege of painting in. Listen to them, hear their stories, hear, you know, what happened in those neighborhoods that might be important for us going forward. One of the really fun, I think, components that we're also introducing this year is that our walls are going to be apprentice designed, which means we'll have a design consultant in there helping them walk through the design brief that we create. So it's incredibly important for us to have community voices who say, you know, this is an important building because it represents maybe some stories from our past, our collective past. Maybe it's important because this represents, you know, a big part of the business community in this area. We are getting to paint a mural on a clinic. So, of course, we want to hear from the people in that area. You know, how did this clinic impact your family? What was there before this clinic was there? You know, we want to hear those stories. So it's been a really rewarding sort of factor this year that has been so much fun, quite honestly, for me. We did our community consultation at the Doris Miller Y a couple of weeks ago, and getting to engage with all of the people who came and listen to their stories and learn. I've only been in Waco 5 years, so learn some of the stories has been really cool. So going forward, that's going to be a big part of what our apprentices learn from.
So I did want to disclose that I work at Family Health Center. I'm the communications director, and we are one of the clients for
yes,
our apprenticeship this year.
We're so excited.
Yeah, we're excited too. And so we're one of our clinics will have a mural painted on it. The other client is Brotherwell Brewing, and they'll have a mural painted on the side of their brewery that's in East Waco off of Elm, not exactly, but.
So one business, one nonprofit, one, you know, very community focused building, one that is, you know, hoping to engage people from all over the world. I think it's a really nice contrast to very different projects, but both of whom are wholeheartedly invested in trying to be part of the community and encourage and invite the community to participate.
That's awesome. So Kennedy, all four of us were at the community consultation, but I don't know about you, but being a young person and hearing like some of the stories that came out of there was really encouraging.
It was very encouraging.
Yeah.
I've grown up in Waco. Probably about 17 years of my life that I've been here, and listening to them talk about stories from like their childhood, because I mean, most of the people who were there were in their senior year. So they were around during like the civil rights movement and, you know, just during a very trying time in this community, and just to hear those stories that, you know, you don't learn about in school, like during Texas history, like a lot of them are forgotten, or they're just, you know, they're not, you know, made for like public knowledge. And, you know, you only learn those stories when you sit down and talk to people who live through that. And just to hear the impactful things that they grew up in, you know, what the community like was like back then and compared to now, and, you know, their visions for the future was just, I don't know, it was a amazing experience.
Yeah, it was incredible. What are some of the ideas that have come out of the consultation? What are you guys expecting to maybe see? Maybe not, you know, explicitly, but like kind of to what kinds of ideas will influence the designs that come out of this?
One concept in particular that I think we keep coming back to, and it's been kind of cool because both Family Health Clinic and Brotherwell Brewing already kind of had their finger on the pulse here. Is this concept of East Waco and those areas being a front porch gathering place. Another one that I think was really cool that came out was with our Family Health Center wall, people talking about that connection between families and mental health and caregivers and how they support each other. And of course, the other interesting aspect that I just loved from that was hearing about all of the caregivers in that community and the rich history there is there of how people of color had to, you know, train themselves sometimes and look out for each other because it was, you know, as Kennedy mentioned, you know, pre-civil rights era, you know, they could not receive the care that they really deserved. And so they solved their own problem. You know, you had practical nursing, you had doctors who were willing to cross those lines and do the right thing. So it's going to be fascinating, I think, to see how our apprentices connect with those stories and what they bring forth in that way. And of course, the other fun part was the visual connection. We had a big wall full of examples of all sorts of murals across the board, and to see people's interaction there, you know, what they liked, what they hated, and they were like, oh, fine, you know, whatever. It's going to be really interesting to see how that comes together.
Kennedy, Stephanie, and Fiona, thank you so much for telling us about the impactful work that you've been doing through our apprenticeship. Visit creativewaco.org/blog for links to info about this program, somewhere to donate to this project, as well as info on last year's mural. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. Catch the next episode Friday, May 24th, when I'll share more stories of the creative work taking place in our city. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.